We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society with National Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is the director of the Bible for Today speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 765. 765 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforttoday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get a book we call Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible? Or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today, uncommon words in the King James, defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, not another Bible like it in the world. Choice of 12-point large print or 10-point medium print. Over 42,000 are in print presently and all over the world distributed. Why not order yours today for yourself and for your friends? The Defined King James Bible. I'd like to hear from you. We're continuing now in our answer to Central Seminary's refutation, again in Bible versions, the book that they're given, one Bible only. We call this now a new title. We started on one title. Now we call it Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Verse. That's exactly what we have here. Now, this is an analysis, it is true, of the One Bible Only, which is a production of the Central Baptist Seminary in Minneapolis, Minnesota area. But these are facts that are fuzzy from fundamentalists, and especially the fundamentalist schools, the leading major fundamentalist schools, they say. That is Bob Jones University, that's Detroit Baptist Seminary, that's Central Baptist Seminary, and that's Calvary Baptist Seminary, Lansdale, Pennsylvania. And so the fuzzy facts. Last broadcast, we read the resolution from the 81st annual meeting of the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship, resolution on schismatic brethren. And brethren, we said, was in quotes. It was October 3rd, the year 2001, that I received the copy. The fact that it's in quotes, brethren, means that the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship, which basically, remember, is led by Bob Jones University's graduates and friends. In fact, I was told up until the last few years, all of the regionals, but maybe one or two, are led by Bob Jones graduates. The president of the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship, Dr. Rodney Bell of Virginia Beach, Virginia, is on the executive committee of Bob Jones University, and is a graduate himself, and has lockstep relationships with the university in their area. So they have said in this resolution that those of us who stand for the King James Bible and the Textus Receptus in the New Testament that underlies it, and the Masoretic traditional Hebrew text that underlies it, they're saying that we are schismatics, and with the quotation marks around brethren, they're questioning even if we are saved. Now, talk about judgment of issues and salvation. This certainly takes the cake, if I'm not mistaken. They say there's public attacks, that accusations, false accusations, they claim. Well, there's no false accusations, as we said last broadcast, just by way of review. They say that the fundamentalist institutions have been attacked. Fundamental Baptist Fellowship, its leaders, like-minded fundamentalist institutions, regarding their respective positions on the text of Scripture and translations. Those are the two areas of, allegedly, our false accusations. Well, we don't make any false accusations. Things that we say, we prove by quotations from the people that we're talking about. We don't agree with them. We disagree strongly. But we're not false in our accusations. And then he says you can say anything you want. It's soul liberty in regard to the text of Scripture, that is Masoretic Hebrew, text of Septus Greek, or any other text, and translations. That means any translation goes, that if you want, King James, New King James, New American Standard, New International Version. And he says a statute made not a test of fellowship. Well, wait a minute. The Fundamental Baptist Fellowship, FBF, in the year 2001, last year, as this broadcast is being made, the latter part of the year in their conference, their 81st annual meeting, said that those who do not affirm their beliefs are schismatic brethren. And in the last part of the resolution, they say they should, those who repeatedly attempt to unnecessarily divide fundamentalists over this issue, that is the issue of the text, Hebrew and Greek text, and the translations, and refuse to repent, should be regarded as schismatics who must be rejected as the Word of God instructs. They are the ones who have made it a test of fellowship, although they say it's sole liberty and should not be a test of fellowship for fundamentalists. And yet these fundamentalists in the Fundamentalist Baptist Fellowship have made it a test of fellowship. Now in their resolution, they give several scripture verses. I'd like to take these scriptural verses up and read them to you and see if you believe, those of you who are listening to us, see if you believe that these properly belong as scripture verses related to fundamentalist brethren who stand for the King James Bible and stand for the Textus Receptus Greek text in the New Testament that underlies that King James Bible, and who stand for the Masoretic Hebrew text in the Old Testament that underlies our King James Bible, and who believe that God promised to preserve His Hebrew and Greek words, and that believe that God has fulfilled that promise and has preserved His Hebrew and Greek words in the exact Masoretic text that underlies the Old Testament in Hebrew of our King James Bible, and the New Testament Greek received text, Textus Receptus, that underlies our King James Bible, that we believe God has preserved those texts. Now that's what I believe on this broadcast. Now notice what they quote, Romans 16, 17 to 18. Let me read it for you. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Now my question is this. Is it true that we have done this? Have we indeed caused divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have received, learned, and so on, and should we be avoided? Now, Paul is talking about doctrinal issues. We who stand for our King James Bible and the Hebrew and Greek texts that underlie it believe that the doctrine in the Scripture is very, very clear. The doctrine that God has promised to preserve His Hebrew and Greek words. The Fundamental Baptist Fellowship and the men that are around it, Bob Jones University men, Detroit Baptist Seminary men, Central Baptist Seminary men, Calvary Baptist Seminary men, do not believe that God has even promised to preserve His words. They are the ones, therefore, that are causing the divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned. They're the ones, if anyone, to be avoided, not those of us who believe the promises of God. They say God didn't promise to preserve His Hebrew and Greek words. This is false doctrine on their part. This is false bibliology on their part. They have gone into the area of the liberal theology, the apostate theology, and the apostate doctrine, which the apostates believe that God never promised to preserve His words. The Bible is just simply the message, the ideas, the thoughts, and so on, the concepts of God, but not His preserved words. Now, not only that, but in Romans 16, verse 18, the verse that this Fundamental Baptist Fellowship resolution quoted as applying to those of us who stand for our King James Bible and the texts of Hebrew and Greek that underlie it, the next verse, verse 18, says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple," unquote. I believe Paul is referring here to those that are contrary to sound doctrine, causing divisions in regard to fundamental issues, sound doctrine of the virgin birth of Christ, the deity of Christ, all these different doctrines. And these are the ones, the heretics, doctrinal heretics, that are the division makers and the offense makers, contrary to the doctrine that Paul has laid out. But they cannot make a case that we who stand for a King James Bible and the Bible preservation of the Hebrew and Greek words, they cannot make a case that we fit into this Romans 16:17 at all. This is Scripture misapplied. This refers to apostates. And apparently that's what they're calling us. Apostates. Divisions contrary to the doctrines. The doctrine which you've learned and avoid them. The second verse of Scripture that they take up is Titus chapter 3, verses 9 to 11, which in our King James Bible says this, quote, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." End of quote. Let me simply say this. Do you believe with those who apparently wrote this resolution that the question of God's promise to preserve His words is a foolish question? Do you believe it's a contention that's unprofitable and vain? Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away"? Do you think that the debating of that verse and agreeing with the Lord Jesus, that He means what He says and says what He means, do you believe that the debating of that verse is a foolish question? Do you think that it's unprofitable and vain? Apparently the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship people do, and the Bob Jones University people that are in control of it apparently do. But this is not vain. This is not a foolish question. This is a bedrock question as to what texts God has preserved for us and where are they. It's not simply the message, as these fundamental institutions proclaim, that's been preserved. Not simply the thoughts and only the concepts or the ideas, but God promised and the Lord Jesus Christ promised to preserve His words. In fact, He says in Matthew 5:17-18, "Not even a jot or a tittle shall in any wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." All has not been fulfilled. The Old Testament jot, the yod, the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The tittle, the smallest distinguishing feature between two Hebrew letters. I realize this is Hebrew, it's Old Testament, but by extension and by application and by analogy, it can refer also to the principle of the New Testament preservation of the letters and the parts of the letters. It was promised by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that question is not a foolish question, as it says in Titus 3, verse 9. It is not unprofitable. Let me go on to Titus 3:10, that the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship resolution has said concerning those of us who stand for our King James Bible and the Greek and Hebrew texts that underlie it. Verse 10 says, "A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject." End of quote. Now, what they're saying here, and they've said it in their own resolution, that schismatic brethren, those who, they say, repeatedly attempt to unnecessarily divide fundamentalists over this issue. Now, my friends, this is not an unnecessary division. Whether God has preserved His words of Hebrew and Greek is a necessary division. And if these men, who claim to be fundamentalists on all other areas, are apostates on this area of bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible, we should be careful as to accepting what they say on this area of bibliology. We cannot trust them in regard to their belief on the preservation of Scriptures. We cannot trust them on any of these matters that they're discussing on the area of the Bible, because they have chosen to deny God's promise of preservation of His Hebrew and Greek words. That is the continental divide for fundamentalists in this day in which we live. They say those who repeatedly attempt to unnecessarily divide fundamentalists over this issue and refuse to repent should be regarded as schismatics and must be rejected as the Word of God instructs. Schismatics is their translation, either the NIV, the New American Standard, or the New King James, of the word heretic. A man that is an heretic. And they are interpreting heretic in the wrong fashion. Heretic comes from the Greek word heretikos, which comes from the verb hereo, and hereo means to hold. That's all it means, to hold. Well, what does it mean? Hold what? Hereo means, and the heretikos, which is a man who holds something, is a man who holds false doctrine. False doctrine. That's what it is, a doctrine contrary to the words of God. We are not heretics who stand for our King James Bible and who stand for the received text that underlies it and the Masoretic Hebrew text that underlies it. We are not heretics. We're not even schismatic brethren. We have always stood for our King James Bible. And the schismatic brethren are those of the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship and others, Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary. These are the brethren who have taken it upon themselves to bolt the party, to walk off against the King James Bible, to walk off against the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, to trash it, to walk off against the New Testament Textus Receptus. They have chosen to be schismatic dividers of the brethren. And just because we stand firm historically for our King James Bible, which all of our fundamentalists have accepted down through the years, just because we stand for that Bible before the New International Version came out, before the New King James Version came out, before the New American Standard Version came out, the churches, generally fundamental churches, used and believed in the King James Bible. And just because we stand for that traditional Bible, the traditional Hebrew text, traditional Greek text, and traditional English text, the King James Bible, these fundamentalist brethren are calling us schismatic brethren. Who is the schismatic brother? The ones who have always held what the churches have held to, the King James Bible? Or the ones who have been Johnny-come-latelys and have departed from the King James Bible and have taken up with the NASB and even the NIV and some of the other versions of the New King James? Who are the ones that are divisive? Who are the ones that are schismatic? Not those of us who stand where we stood and the church has stood for years. Notice what else they say about Titus chapter 3 and verse 10. Not only they say we're heretics, and therefore after the first and second admonition, reject. That's what the resolution says. They should be regarded as schismatics who must be rejected as the Word of God instructs. Rejected. Thrown away. If we don't repent, well, what's there to repent of? We cannot repent of something the Scriptures, we believe, clearly teach. How can we repent of that which God clearly shows us in the words of God, in the Scripture? Then the next verse in this resolution that they quote, Titus 3, verse 9, yes, verse 10, yes, and then verse 11, says this, quote, knowing that he that is such, that is this heretic, is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. And so they have us not only schismatics, not only brethren in quotes, meaning we're lost and bound for hell, apparently, if we're not genuine brethren. We're just brethren in quotes. We're also subverted, according to the application of verse 11 of Titus 3. We're also sinners, and we're also condemned of ourselves. Now, that's not a pretty picture. My fellow believers, I resent these remarks, because they're directed at me and others like me who stand flat-footedly on our King James Bible as the only accurate text in the English language from the proper Hebrew text and the proper Greek text. We have a radio broadcast ministry that comes all over this country and by shortwave around the world. And we're barking, and we get listeners that call us about these things. We're barking out as watchdogs on this broadcast of the Bible for Today of the Air. And we're saying that there's something amiss in this horrendous resolution. We're talking about the fuzzy facts from fundamentalists on Bible versions. And we're answering, basically, this one Bible only from Central Baptist Seminary, but all of these so-called fundamentalists of the so-called major fundamentalist schools. I'm talking about, again, the Quartet, Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, and Calvary Baptist Seminary. All these schools chime in with the same general rubber stamp fuzzy facts, and they're fuzzy facts from fundamentalists. Not unbelievers, not new evangelicals, but fundamentalists. The facts are fuzzy, and they're giving false information. Let me show you another verse that they're quoting in this resolution, Fundamental Baptist Fellowship, that came out last fall, October or September 2001, the 81st annual meeting of the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship, Schismatic Brethren. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. Now, when they say in the resolution that those who repeatedly attempt to unnecessarily divide fundamentalists over this issue, let me pause right there. I have repeatedly attempted to talk about this issue. I've repeatedly attempted on these broadcasts to talk about the issues of the text of Scripture and translations of Scripture. And if they want to be divided on it, that's up to them. I don't unnecessarily divide anybody. I want every fundamentalist listening to my voice to come over on my side and our side, the King James Bible side, and the side of the truth, and the side of the Textus Receptus, Greek New Testament, the Masoretic Hebrew text, and leave the side of the fuzzy fundamentalists. The fuzzy fundamentalists who have fuzzy facts. These are not facts. These are innuendos. These are smear tactics. And it does not behoove these giant schools. And I say giant from the standpoint of the dollars behind them. It does not behoove them from these giant schools to throw brickbats and cast aspersions on those of us who stand for our King James Bible, and call us schismatics, and call us heretics, and call us sinners, and call us subverted, and so on, and say we must be rejected. This does not go over. In 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, the setting of that, as you may know, is the judgment seat of Christ. And these men, these fundamentalist men, these brethren, even without quotes, I don't have to quote brethren in quotes. I believe they're brethren. I believe they're saved. I believe their facts are fuzzy. I believe their facts are fuzzy. I believe that they either don't know the truth or else they know the truth and don't believe it. But these fuzzy fundamentalists with the fuzzy facts are using the judgment seat of Christ against me and others like me who stand for our King James Bible and the Hebrew and Greek texts that underlie it. Paul says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, 1 Corinthians 3:10, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, stopping at verse 11, they apparently say that we who are fundamentalist brethren in quotes are on the foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you better believe we're on the foundation. I'm on the foundation. Been saved ever since 1944, before some of these men were even born. Now, continuing in verse 12, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So they have us there at the judgment seat of Christ. They have us apparently building our life on the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation, with building materials that are combustible, wood, hay, and stubble. And somehow or another, when the fire tries our work, who stand for our King James Bible and the Greek and Hebrew texts that underlie it, somehow they have in their mind that our works and our stand will be burned to a crisp at the judgment seat of Christ. This is pretty heavy criticism on the part of the fundamentalist brethren who are fuzzy on their facts. It says in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 3, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Well, my friends, they've got us at the judgment seat of Christ, and they've got us without any reward, apparently. He won't receive any reward. Apparently, we've got our works being burned up because we stand for our King James Bible, and we believe that the Lord Jesus' words are correct when he promises to preserve the words of Hebrew and Greek. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. To me, this will get reward. Far from being absent from reward, I'm wondering if these fundamentalists that stick to the false Greek text of Westcott and Hort will get a reward, or will they be having works to be burned up? Are their works wood, hay, and stubble? They're following apostates Westcott and apostate Hort. They're following a version. I'm talking about these fundamentalist brethren, the fuzzy facts that they have, the fuzzy fundamentalists from Bob Jones University, the fuzzy fundamentalists at Detroit Baptist Seminary, the fuzzy fundamentalists at Central Baptist Seminary, and the fuzzy fundamentalists at Calvary Baptist Seminary. I'm talking about them. And I believe since they use an apostate text that has 356 doctrinal aberrations and errors, rather than the text that underlies our King James Bible that has orthodox doctrines throughout, they're barking up the wrong tree, and they're treading on very thin ice, as far as I'm concerned, as far as the judgment seat of Christ. One of these men, one of the authors, in fact, Kevin Bowder, wrote me a letter, and he said, now, you've got to be careful. You're an old man. You're just about ready to die, apparently, so on, something to that effect. You've got to be careful. You're going to be meeting the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, and threatening me almost as if I am in serious trouble at the judgment seat of Christ. My friend, this is serious business, and I don't believe it for a minute. My skirts are clean. My conscience is clear. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible. Or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a toll-free call right now, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. We're going to continue this next broadcast next week. Same time, same station. Hope you listen to us. We're going to continue analyzing fuzzy facts from fundamentalists on Bible versions. This One Bible Only from Central Seminary is the main book, but the fuzzy facts are all over the fundamentalists and the major institutions. We believe it's an important study. It's going to go on for many weeks and many months. We hope that you'll stay tuned. See you next week. Same time, same station. God bless. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, read each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the class and of the program, speaking. Welcome to broadcast, weekly broadcast number 976. 976 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible. Now in its eighth printing, 356 pages, or actually 350 pages. Hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get your book Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your defined King James Bible? Uncommon words are defined in the King James accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 42,000 are in print and distributed all over the world. Why not order yours today for yourself and your friends? The defined King James Bible. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get it. All right, we're continuing on our analysis here, Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions, a refutation of one Bible only from Central Seminary, but it's a refutation of facts that are believed by other fuzzy fundamentalists on Bible versions. We don't believe that they're right. We believe that they're wrong. We're going to start with problem number one on the one Bible only. And this is the question, is there only one inspired Bible? This was on the back cover. And this is a fuzzy fact that's been spread abroad. And this one Bible only, is part of the fuzzy thinking and the fuzzy facts. My answer, as far as is there only one inspired Bible, they're talking about the translations of the Bible. We do not hold, either at the Dean Burgon Society or the Bible for Today, that the King James Bible or any other translation is inspired of God or God-breathed. God did not breathe out English or Spanish or French or German. He breathed out Hebrew, a little Aramaic, and Greek. Only 2 Timothy 3:16 gives us the Bible definition of inspiration. That's the only New Testament word we have for the word inspiration, from which we get the word inspired. And if we're going to use this term biblically, and we believe it should be used biblically, we're going to have to change some of our ways and some of our expressions. And many of you pastors are going to have to realize the Bible is clear on the usage of the term inspiration. Now, there's only one Greek word for five English words given by inspiration of God. One word, theopneustos, if you wish to pronounce it that way. It comes from two Greek words, theos, which is God, and pneo, which means to breathe. And so all Scripture, everything that's written down, is God-breathed. And that's referring to the Hebrew Old Testament text, the Greek New Testament text. It's literally God-breathed. Now, God did not breathe out or inspire. That's what God-breathed means, inspire, breathe out, given by inspiration of God. He did not breathe out or inspire Spanish or French or English or any other translation. He breathed out or inspired only Greek, a little Aramaic, and Hebrew. Now, brethren, if you have referred to a translation, whether it's a Spanish one or French one or any other language, as being inspired, are you using that term according to 2 Timothy 3:16? Where the words given by inspiration of God are a translation of one Greek word, theonistos, theos plus pneo, literally God breathed. Do you believe God breathed out that Spanish Bible, word by word? If you believe He breathed it out or inspired it, that becomes a revelation from God. And it supersedes the Hebrew and Greek text from which it was taken. Is that what you believe? Do you believe that God inspired or breathed out a French version? A French translation? If you believe He breathed it out, that means it's a revelation. It's not a translation anymore by men. It's a revelation by God. Because that's what God breathed means. That's what inspired means. Breathing out by God. You can't say inspired only and leave out the word God. Given by inspiration of God. Inspiration of God. God breathed. God has to do it. And if man has translated it, then God has not inspired or breathed it out, but man has translated it from the breathed out words of Hebrew and of Greek. The same is true of the English. I realize there's lots of people that are upset at the scriptural term in 2 Timothy 3:16. They cry out to have to say that their Bible is God-breathed or inspired of God, given by inspiration of God. And they want to say it. And they say if they don't say it's given by inspiration of God, the translation, they think that there's something inferior about that translation. Not at all. Not true at all. There's nothing inferior about our King James Bible. It's the only accurate translation of the proper Hebrew text and the proper Greek text. And it's authoritative. It's accurate. It's been blessed of God. It's won many souls through the centuries to Christ. But we cannot say it was given by inspiration of God. We must say it's been translated accurately by men. It's been translated by men. It's not been breathed out or God breathed by God. And if we get the definition straight of 2 Timothy 3:16, we won't have these critical text people, these from Central Baptist Seminary or Bob Jones University or Calvary Baptist Seminary or Detroit Baptist Seminary, all of them agree about the same. We won't have them charging us and saying, is there only one inspired Bible? God-breathed Bible. Well, if you're talking about the original King James, but the original Hebrew and Greek text, yes, we think there is only one God-breathed Hebrew text that God has preserved, and one God-breathed Greek text that He's preserved. He has breathed out those words, and the originals of Hebrew and the originals of Greek are breathed out words, and we happen to believe that God has preserved those breathed out words in the traditional Hebrew text that underlies our King James Bible, and in the traditional Textus Receptus Greek text that underlies our King James Bible. So we have the God-breathed words, not in English, Spanish, French, or German, or Russian, but we have today God-breathed words in the Hebrew text and Greek text that underlies our King James Bible. That's problem number one. Fuzzy facts from fundamentalists. Let's take fuzzy fact number two. On the back of this One Bible Only cover, it says, quote, some believers insist that the King James Version is the only accurate translation of the Bible. End quote. Let's pause right there. Well, that's true. That's no fuzzy fact. That is absolutely true. It is the only accurate translation of the Bible. Why? Because it's the only accurate use of the proper Hebrew text, the proper Greek text. It's the only one with qualified translators. It's the only one with a proper translation technique. And it's the only one that has proper theology. We have four reasons why the King James Bible is the only accurate translation of the English language that there is. Get the book that I've written called Defending the King James Bible. We'll see the fourfold superiority. I make a case for it. I think it's a reasonable case. Even if you don't agree with it, you ought to read it, get it. Call us, we'll tell you how to get your copy. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Now, fuzzy fact number two, problem number two, goes on to say from this back cover, quote, King James only proponents claim it is the only choice, that is the King James Bible, for those who want the inspired, in quotes, the inspired scripture as their guide for faith and practice. Here again, they hit us over the head and say we've got inspired scripture, which means inspired of God, which means given by inspiration of God, which means God breathed. And this is a fuzzy fact. It's a smear against those of us who do not believe this. We do not believe it's God breathed out, it's man translated. And they smear us and knock us apart because they think that they can make a point and make us look ridiculous. It has not been given by inspiration of God, our King James Bible. It's not the inspired scripture. I'll tell you what it is, though. It's the only English translation of the inspired Hebrew and Greek text. Preserved words of Hebrew and Greek text. The only accurate translation of those inspired scriptures. But the inspiration, given by inspiration of God, the God breathing, is the underlying Hebrew and Greek text of our King James Bible, and not the English itself. Though it is accurate, and in the English language, we have God's words properly translated into the English language, and so it's the only accurate scripture, the only accurate translation in the English language of the Bible. And so, that's fuzzy fact number two. Problem number two. Let's go to problem number three. Fuzzy fact number three for fundamentalists on the Bible version issue. The back cover of this one Bible only, printed by Central Baptist Seminary there in Minneapolis, Minnesota. They say, quote, "This honest examination of the King James only position." Let's just pause right there. First of all, it's not an honest examination. These fuzzy facts are not honest facts. They're distorted. They're not proper. And I don't like another thing about the King James only position. The word King James only is never defined by these fuzzy fundamentalists on Bible versions. You'd think that a scholarly book such as One Bible Only purports to be would have a definition of terms. And yet, they just reel off the thing in quotation marks, King James only position. And they let the reader determine what does that mean. Well, it means a whole lot of things to a whole lot of people, and it's not defined, and so it's a useless term. But what it does, it combines in one package all the evil things, all the heretical things, all the positions that are wrong in the Dr. Peter Ruckman camp. And the Peter Ruckman camp there in Pensacola, Florida, Pensacola Bible Institute, not Pensacola Bible College. Now, don't forget the difference in the two. Pensacola Bible Institute, not the college, Pensacola Christian College. The Peter Ruckman position is a horrendously false position. And that's also included in this King James only. And so, my position is not a Ruckmanite position. I don't agree with Dr. Peter Ruckman and his view of the King James Bible and many other things. And yet, I'm swooped up into this package without any definition and just thrown to the dogs an examination of the King James only position, as if it's only one position, as if there's only one position that it has. My friends, the King James only position, if you want to call it a position, is multifaceted, and they don't define terms, and therefore I'd like to throw out the whole term. I don't want to say King James only. I've written a tract. I only use the King James Bible, that's for sure. I've written a tract. If you're interested in it, call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Request this tract, King James only. What does it mean? King James only, what does it mean? I've given three definitions for this term. And you don't know what it means when it's just used. Therefore, you don't have to use it unless you define it. Position number one, Dr. Peter Ruckman. He says King James only means only the English King James. Don't discuss the Hebrew, don't discuss the Greek, just the King James only in that sense. What does his pupil mean by that? Dr. Samuel Gipp, King James only. He means the only translation in the world, in any language of the world, should be the English King James Bible. He was asked on the John Ankerberg telecast several years ago and rebroadcast on TV just recently in this year as the broadcast is being taped. He was asked on the John Ankerberg show of Samuel Gipp, Dr. Peter Ruckman's protege and stand-in and follower. He said, Dr. Gipp, he said, what if a Russian wants to know what the Bible is and what the Word of God is? What would he do? And the answer was he'd have to learn English and have to learn it in the King James Bible. What he's saying there is the only valid translation in any language is English. And the only English translation is the King James Bible. Well, I'll agree with him that the only proper English translation, the only accurate one, is the King James Bible. But what he's saying is, it's English only. Don't translate it into Russian accurately with proper texts, proper translators, proper technique, and proper theology. Don't translate it into Russian or German or French or Italian or Spanish or Swahili or Korean or Chinese or Japanese. Limit it to English. This is a horrendously false view of Bible translation. English only? That's his only. What's the third definition of King James only? Peter Ruckman? Samuel Gipp? What's my definition? D.A. Waite. I simply say that I use only the King James Bible for preaching. I compare it with Hebrew and Greek when I need to, but I only use it for preaching, for memorizing, for teaching in Sunday school classes, and so on. This is my only, but it's a different, completely different position than the other two King James only positions. And I object to the fuzzy fundamentalists and the fuzzy facts throwing in all of us into one big kettle of fish and throwing us down the drain. I object. It's not scholarly and it's not proper. Let me continue. Fuzzy fact number three, problem number three in this one Bible only book. On the back cover, this honest examination, which is not honest, of the King James only position, without any definition of King James only, offers a balanced and scholarly presentation of the issues based on biblical and historical evidence. End of quote. What's my answer to the fuzzy fact? What's the frank fact? The true fact? Number three. This book is neither honest, nor balanced, nor scholarly, nor biblical, nor historical. I disagree completely. The present book contains four chapters that also were found in their earlier book there at Central Baptist Seminary called The Bible Version Debate. It's not a completely new book, but that's a fuzzy fact, saying it's balanced and scholarly and historical and biblical. It's none of those, in my judgment. Well, let's take a look at fuzzy fact number four for fundamentalists on Bible versions, as found in One Bible Only. Again, this is from the president of Central Baptist Seminary, who published this One Bible Only, Dr. Douglas R. McLaughlin. He writes a preface called The Richness of Scripture. As I say, he's a Central Baptist Seminary president. Well, what is his fuzzy fact? Well, here's what he writes on page 9 of One Bible Only. He says, Christians celebrate in particular the trustworthiness of Scripture as a breathed out, written down document from God Himself. End of quote. Well, trustworthiness? My friend, it's not simply trustworthiness. That's a weak position on what we have preserved for us today. You need more than trustworthiness. God has promised to preserve the Hebrew and Greek words of the Scriptures, and He has fulfilled that promise. The word trustworthiness that Dr. McLaughlin uses here is a fuzzy fact, and it's not true. The word trustworthiness is a very weak term. It's an elusive term, a vacant term, when referring to Scripture. No meaning is assigned to the term. Don't know what he means. Just trustworthiness. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Well, how many errors in the Hebrew text and Greek text does he have in order for it still to be trustworthy? Can you drop off several words? Can you add several words? Can you have several false doctrines and still be trustworthy? in Dr. McLaughlin's concept of trustworthiness. Let me just ask a question of Dr. McLaughlin in this fuzzy fact problem number 4 of my analysis here. If he has the New American Standard Version or the New International Version with 356 doctrinal changes, errors that are not strictly orthodox compared to our Textus Receptus text, 356 doctrinal passages that are out of line, does he still think that that's a trustworthy document that we have today preserved in Scripture? I don't believe it is. I would call it horrendously trustworthy. I would call it falsely trustworthy. I would call that a fuzzy fact. Indeed, it's not trustworthy at all if it has 356 doctrinal errors. And I would also say this. Does Dr. McLaughlin, president of Central Baptist Seminary in Minneapolis, Minnesota, does he think a Greek text that his school uses, whether it's the Westcott and Hort text, United Bible Society text, Nestle-Aland text, does he think that that text that they use there, which has 5,604 places that differ from my text, the Textus Receptus and the King James Bible's text, 8,000 different words, his text that drops out 2,886 Greek words right out of it compared to our Textus Receptus, does he think that his text is trustworthy? I don't think it is. And I think that word trustworthiness is very elusive indeed. Well, let's take a look at fuzzy fact number 5 from this book, problem 5 on Bible versions, refutation of one Bible only. On page 10, here's another statement from Dr. McLaughlin, the president. Dr. McLaughlin stated, quote, it, that is making the originals, did not demean the human authors into machines as though they were dictaphones, and yet it preserved from error the text of Scriptures as originally given by God. End of quote. Now notice, he's limiting preservation from error on the text of Scriptures as originally given by God. He does not believe, as his seminary does not believe at Central Baptist Seminary, nor does the seminary at Bob Jones University or the university itself believe, nor does Detroit Baptist Seminary or Calvary Baptist Seminary. They don't believe that God has preserved his Hebrew and Greek words today, preserved them from error. He does not believe that these words today in Hebrew and in Greek are preserved from error, just as originally given by God. Well, my question is this. You know, throughout the fundamentalist debate on Bible versions and the Bible text, the fuzzy fundamentalist side of things that have fuzzy facts are saying that we who use the principle of faith in the words of God, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to be trounced, we're to be condemned, we're to be set aside because we have implicit faith in the words of God. And yet, how does Dr. McLaughlin know anything about the originals that he says are preserved from error as originally given? Except by faith. I believe that the text as originally given was free from error right from the beginning. But how does he know it except by faith? He was not there. He doesn't believe we have a preserved Greek and Hebrew text today. I believe we do. I believe the Lord Jesus promised, and I believe the Old Testament promised, that God would preserve his words of Hebrew, his words of Greek, free from error. But he doesn't. And so how does he know the originals were preserved from error? He never saw the originals. And it's only a matter of faith. I happen to share that faith, but it's a little bit incongruous to charge us with wickedness and wrong and error to have a faith position, and yet his faith position, that the originals were free from error, is all right. Yet our position of faith, that God has not only preserved the originals free from error, but the copies of the Hebrew text and the Greek text also free from error, those copies and the words that underlie our King James Bible. Well, let's see, fuzzy fact number six, problem six. Dr. McLaughlin again, president of Central Baptist Seminary, and this is in the book, One Bible Only, fuzzy fact number six. President McLaughlin wrote this, quote, "The unfortunate reality is that in the intervening years, we have lost access to the original manuscripts of Scripture. None of them has survived." Well, how do I answer this fuzzy fact of Dr. McLaughlin, a fundamentalist there at Fundamentalist Central Baptist Seminary? Well, I would simply say this. The true fact is as follows. Though the originals have not survived, we have not lost access to the original manuscripts of Scripture, as Dr. McLaughlin asserts. We have not lost access. God promised to preserve His original words. And I believe He has fulfilled His promise by preserving them in the Masoretic Hebrew and the Textus Receptus Greek texts that underlie our King James Bible. Because of this, we do have access to the words of the original manuscripts by the verbal preservation of the copies of those manuscripts. And they say, well, what copies do you mean? I mean the exact copies that underlie our King James Bible, Hebrew text and Greek text. Apart from these Hebrew and Greek texts, which Central Seminary and others have abandoned, there is a lost access to the original manuscripts of Scripture. They don't believe they have the access to the original manuscripts. Dr. McLaughlin doesn't. His staff and faculty do not. They're at Central Baptist Seminary. They believe they've lost all sorts of access to the original manuscripts. They don't believe even God promised to preserve His words of Hebrew and Greek. And they certainly don't believe He has preserved them. What do they believe? What is the fuzzy fact of the fundamentalists of Central Baptist Seminary and these other schools that go along with it? What is their belief? Number one, they don't believe God promised to preserve His Hebrew and Greek words. Number two, they don't believe He has preserved His Hebrew and Greek words. Therefore, number three, Dr. McLaughlin chimes in and leads the pack and says, we've lost access to the original manuscripts of Scripture. What do they have then? Simply Message. Simply the thoughts, simply the ideas, simply the concepts, but not the words of Scripture. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a toll-free call, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Well, my friends, we're going to continue the analysis, fuzzy facts, from fundamentalists on Bible versions, analyzing this book, One Bible Only, published by the Central Baptist Theological Seminary, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We believe these things are important. We believe these doctrines are important. We believe the whole concept of the text of Scriptures are important. We believe the concept of the translations and the versions of Scripture are important. And we intend to continue this by God's grace. And we hope that you'll give us a listening ear and stay tuned next week, same time, same station. Till then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 977 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. And our order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on our question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibletoday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible. Now it's 8th printing, 350 pages. It's a hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. Not another Bible in the world like it. Deluxe genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 42,000 are in print and distributed over the world. Why not order yours today? For yourself and your friends, the Defined King James Bible. Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get your Bible. Well, we're continuing on fuzzy facts from fundamentalists on Bible versions. Fuzzy facts from fundamentalists on Bible versions. It's a refutation of one Bible only, which is from one sector of fundamentalists, fuzzy facts from the Central Baptist Seminary in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we're analyzing this one Bible only, but it's symptomatic. It's not simply from one school, and that's the only person, or only school rather, in the whole world that thinks this way with the fuzzy facts on Bible versions. But there are other fundamentalist institutions that agree with these views, and so it's an answer to the fuzzy facts from all fundamentalists on Bible versions. We're on fuzzy fact number 7 on this book, One Bible Only. Problem number 7. Here's the president, Dr. McLaughlin of Central Baptist Seminary. And on page 10 of the One Bible Only book, he says this: notwithstanding, God in his grace and governance has ensured access to the original content of these documents by preserving for us a rich abundance of manuscript copies. Notice he's access to the original content of these documents. Well, what's my answer to this? This is a fuzzy fact. A fuzzy fact, let's hear about the true facts. Well, when he says he believes only the original content of the original manuscripts were preserved, that's nothing. Content. What does content mean? Does it mean words? No, it does not. He does not believe, Dr. McLaughlin and the whole Central Baptist Theological Seminary in Minneapolis, Minnesota, as well as the other fundamentalist institutions that are in communion with this school, and in accord with this school, Bob Jones University being one, Detroit Baptist Seminary being one, and Calvary Baptist Seminary being another, of the Big Four, the quartet, they don't believe that God has preserved the Hebrew and Greek words of those originals. He talks about a lot of copies, a rich abundance of manuscript copies, but he says the only thing we have is the access to the original content. We don't have access to the manuscripts as far as the words, but I believe the Lord Jesus Christ has promised to preserve his words. I believe that this promise was fulfilled, and it's fulfilled in the Masoretic Hebrew text and the Textus Receptus Greek text that underlies our King James Bible. Dr. McLaughlin and Central Baptist Seminary and these other schools with their fundamentalist fuzzy facts use manuscripts B and Aleph instead of the manuscripts that underlie the King James Bible and the Textus Receptus. And we don't believe that those manuscripts, Vatican and Sinai, are the ones to use. So that's a fuzzy fact number 7. Well, what about fuzzy fact number 8? Problem number 8. Dr. McLaughlin wrote this on page 10 again of this one Bible only. He said, quote, significant variance
number about 2,000, none of which affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. That's on page 10 of One Bible Only. Well, what's fuzzy about that so-called fact? Well, first of all, how does he know that significant variance number about 2,000? My friends, differences between his text, Westcott and Hort, which is Nestle Island, United Bible Society Greek text, differs in total number of words from the Textus Receptus underlying our King James Bible, 8,000 plus words that are different. Now, I don't understand how we can limit the significant variance to 2,000. I don't understand that at all. When there's Dr. Jack Mormon is getting a database, he's in London, England, he's our research man, he's written 5 books already that we've published on the issues of the King James Bible and the various texts and manuscripts of Hebrew and Greek, an excellent writer, an excellent research man, and he presently is making a database there in London, England, using the British Museum and all the different documents and facts that he has at his disposal. Tremendous scholar. Dr. Mormon has sent me a list comparing the critical text, Westcott and Hort, B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai, call it what you will, the critical text of the United Bible Societies and Nestle Island compared to the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible. And he's shown that there are over 8,000 words that differ. Now, some of them are minor, that's true. But how can Dr. McLaughlin, president of the Central Baptist Seminary, say that the significant variants are only about 2,000? And then he says, none of which affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. If that isn't a fuzzy fact, I don't know what is. That's the statement made repeatedly by so many. Theology is not affected. Well, what is the answer? What is the true fact? Not this fuzzy fact that's false. The true fact is that theology is affected. It's affected. The overall theology of Bible-believing Christians is affected by the false texts that underlie these versions, such as the New American Standard, the New International Revised Standard, and so on. Theology is affected because of the false Westcott and Hort Greek texts used by Central Seminary, used by Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, and others. Theology is seriously affected. Now, as I said before, we have a scholar in the Textus Receptus department, Dr. Jack Mormon, and he's written a book. It's BFT number 2956. We've printed it, 100 large pages, and here in this book, he points out 356 doctrinal passages and errors. Doctrinal passages, 356, and errors in the Greek texts of Westcott and Hort, United Bible Society, or Nestle Island. And those texts are the ones that underlie the New American Standard Version, the New International Version, that many Bible-believing Christians are using. Now, to say with Dr. McLaughlin, this fuzzy fact that none of which, even the 2,000 that he thinks are significant variants, none of which affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. Well, I've mentioned this before in our broadcast. I don't want to keep boring people listening to us, but let's go over a few of these doctrines that are different. 1 Corinthians 15:47 is one. The King James Bible accurately says, quoting and accurately translating the Textus Receptus that underlies it, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Well, the B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai texts take away the word Lord and either say that the one from heaven or the man from heaven or something else. And the NIV, New American Standard, New King James footnotes, and the New Berkeley and other versions take away the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord from heaven. Why is this? Well, it's because the Gnostics from Egypt, who doctored and changed the traditional text, did not believe the Lord Jesus Christ was the Lord, deity, from heaven, but just some other person, some other influence, some other, maybe the man from heaven or something else. Well, let me give you a second doctrine. Dr. McLaughlin, in his Fuzzy Fact, says none of the variants affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. Well, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not the Lord from heaven, then he's not the eternal Son of God, and he's not God the Son, and this is serious. Let me give you a second, for instance, of overall theology. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16, where our King James Bible accurately translates the text Receptus and says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Well, he's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was received up into glory, and the ascension, and preached unto the Gentiles, believed in the world, seen of angels, justified in the Spirit. But the fact is that he was God manifest in the flesh. Now, this word God is out of the false critical text of B and Aleph. They just remove it. And it's out of these other versions, the New International, New American Standard, footnotes of the study edition of the New King James, New Berkeley, and other modern versions. This, my friend, is a critical and important doctrine which affects the overall Bible-believing Christian theology. It's not just simply he appeared in a body, which is the NIV's rendering of this. Who's the he referred to? The Greek text says very clearly, Theos, Ephanerothe. Theos, God, was manifest, and Sarki, in the flesh. The Nestle-Aland, Westcott and Hort text of 1 Timothy 3:16 simply says not Theos, Ephanerothe, but Hos, Ephanerothe, and Sarki. Hos is not Theos. Hos is who? And it is not God manifest in the flesh. The Gnostics didn't believe that God was manifest in the flesh. The Gnostic heretics that doctored manuscript B and Aleph did not even agree that there was deity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my friends, this is the reading of simply the Sinai manuscript. Not even Allah, not even the B, not even the Vatican. There's no Vatican B in 1 Timothy 3:16. And so because just one manuscript says he or who appeared in a body or who was manifest instead of God, they changed the entire theology of the versions that are translated, NASV, NIV. Well, what are some of the evidences for the translation of the word God or Theos? Well, Dean Burgon has done an excellent piece of work in his Revision Revised, page 486 to 496. It's taken up about 75 pages of showing how the readings are properly given as God manifest in the flesh. Theos, not simply Hos. Greek manuscripts and lectionizing copies, 289. Have very clearly Theos, God, manifest in the flesh. Ancient versions in the New Testament, 3 of them very clearly have God manifest in the flesh. Greek Church Fathers quotation, about 20 have God manifest in the flesh. That's 312 documents of manuscripts, ancient versions in the Greek New Testament Church Fathers quotations. 312 documents. What's the evidence for Hos, which is what the Westcott and Hort text says, or sometimes it says ha. Hoss, there's only six New Testament manuscripts with hoss or who. There's only one ancient New Testament version, and there are zero church fathers that have hoss. A total of seven items of documentation instead of 312. What about ha, which is which? Well, there's only one New Testament manuscript, five ancient New Testament versions, and two Greek church fathers' quotations, total of seven, again, of documentation for ha. My friend, it is God manifest in the flesh. That is doctrine. And when Dr. McLaughlin gives this fuzzy fact, it's fuzzy, but it's not a fact. It's a fuzzy fact. When he says that none of which of these variants affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians, I maintain God manifest in the flesh is a Bible-believing Christian's doctrine that should not be changed because of the heretical Greek manuscripts used first by Westcott and Hort, and then by the Nestle Island and United Bible Society texts of the fundamentalists. It's a sad, sad thing indeed. Well, what is the third point? Not affecting any theology, any doctrine. In 1 John 4 and verse 3, the King James Bible, accurately quoting and translating the Textus Receptus, Greek text, says, "In every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God." Now, why do I say this is a doctrine that is changed, a doctrine that he says none of which affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians? Because the words that are taken out in 1 John 4:3 by manuscript B, the Vatican manuscript, they take out the words "Christ is come in the flesh." This again refers to the incarnation. And the Gnostics, heretic Gnostics from Egypt, did not believe that there was an incarnation. And so they simply read, like the New American Standard Version, the footnotes of the study edition of the New King James, simply say, "Every spirit that doesn't confess Jesus is not of God." But they leave out, "Christ is come in the flesh." Now, the Jews confess there's a Jesus. They don't believe he's Christ, Jesus Christ, come in the flesh. The Mormons confess Jesus, but they don't believe that Christ is come in the flesh. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And so with the modernists and the liberals, so with the Jehovah's Witnesses, so with the Christian Scientists, they believe in Jesus, there's a Jesus. But they do not believe that Jesus Christ, the God-man, is come in the flesh. The incarnation is gone. Now that's doctrine. Dr. McLaughlin, president of Central Baptist Theological Seminary, Minneapolis, Minnesota, says that none of the variants affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. What about Matthew 1:25? Here's a fourth example of overall theology being affected by the variants. In Matthew 1:25, our King James Bible reads, "And knew her not," speaking of Joseph and Mary, "till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Well, the word "firstborn" is gone from the heretical manuscripts that Dr. McLaughlin uses in his seminary. B and Aleph, the NIV, the New American Standard, other modern versions take away "firstborn" and just simply say "brought forth her son." I maintain that this variant does affect the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. Firstborn indicates she was a virgin. She'd never had a child. This is in conformity to Isaiah 7:14. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son." Here, it's just her son, which means that it might have been her secondborn, thirdborn, fourth. She had a number of children, Mary did, according to Scripture. And the half-brothers of the Lord Jesus are mentioned in the Scriptures, and to take away the firstborn, this variant does affect the overall theology and questions the virgin birth of Christ. Whereas if firstborn is in here, the virgin birth is vouchsafed and is assured. And this is affecting overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. So again, we doubt Dr. McLaughlin's fuzzy fact. What about another, a fifth example? Matthew 18, verse 11, where the King James Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Now that's the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a variant that affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians, contrary to the fuzzy fact of Dr. McLaughlin on page 10 of this book, One Bible Only. This entire verse is gone. It's missing in the B and Aleph Vatican and Sinai texts. It's missing in the New International Version. It's put into brackets and doubted in the New American Standard. Yeah, the old American Standard, I'm using that as the old one. The new one, I don't know what they've done to it. The New King James Study Edition in the footnotes. The whole verse is suggested to be eliminated. My friend, that's doctrine. That's overall affecting the theology of Bible-believing Christians, because it's taking away the reason the Lord Jesus came into this world. Well, Luke 9:56 is another verse. The King James Bible says, "For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Now, the first part of that, Luke 9:56, is also torn apart and eliminated by manuscripts B and Aleph. The variants are that entire first part of the verse. That's the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's come not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Have you been saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? This is why he came. B and Aleph take those words out. So does the NIV and the New American Standard and the footnotes of the New King James and a study edition. This affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. These variants in Luke 9:56 deny that the Lord Jesus' mission was to save men, not to destroy their lives, but to save them. Well, let's take a look at a seventh variant. Dr. McLaughlin, in his fuzzy fact, says that none of the variants affect any overall theology. Well, I beg to differ with fuzzy fact number 8 of Dr. McLaughlin on this book, One Bible Only, published by his school. In Luke 2, verse 22, there's a variant that does affect, again, the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. Bible-believing Christians believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was impeccable. That is, he was sinless. He was pure and perfect. No sin in him, no sin on him. Without sin, God the Father hath made him to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But the variant in Luke 2:22, spoken of by B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai manuscript in this critical Greek text, and agreed with in the New International Version, the New American Standard, New Berkeley, and other modern versions used by others. This has a biblical theology that is contrary to Bible-believing Christians. The King James Bible accurately reads in the Textus Receptus Greek text, "When the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished," speaking of Mary, her purification, "they brought him to Jerusalem." They, that is, Joseph and Mary, brought him, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Unquote. Now notice just the one word, one variant, but the variant in the word is her, when the days of her purification were, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished. Well, what do they change the pronoun her to? What do they change it to? instead of her purification, they have their purification. The days of their purification. You say, well, what difference does a simple pronoun make? And does this contradict the fuzzy fact of Dr. McLaughlin? Fuzzy fact number 8 in this page 10 of One Bible Only. Yes, it does contradict Dr. McLaughlin, the president of the school. He says none of which affects these 2,000 significant variants, none of which affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. My friends, there's two things wrong with the purification in Luke 2:22. First, it says according to the law of Moses. Well, the law of Moses clearly teaches that the only one to be purified after the birth of a child is the mother. If you say the purification, you're talking about the purification of the mother, the father, and the child, which is not according to the law of Moses. Does this not affect you, my friend, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, to think that the Lord Jesus' mother, Mary, did something that was contrary to the law of Moses, even though it says in their versions that it was according to the law of Moses? That's the first thing. The second thing wrong with the rendition of Luke 2:22 and the variant, instead of her purification, changing it to their purification. The second thing wrong is that the their includes the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as Joseph, as well as Mary. Well, I'll grant you that Mary needed purification because she was a sinner, contrary to the Roman Catholic views that Mary was spotless and perfect and sinless. I grant you that it's all right for Joseph. He was impure and needed purification. He was a sinner. But to say that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, here in Luke 2:22, needed purification is rank heresy and against the Bible theology of Bible-believing Christians. Another fuzzy fact of Dr. McLaughlin proved to be wrong indeed. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call right now, toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Well, my friends, we're going to continue with some more fuzzy facts from fundamentalists on Bible versions. This book, One Bible Only, from Central Baptist Seminary, certainly has a multitude of fuzzy facts that simply are not true. They're not facts. They're fuzzies. And fuzzy was a bear, of course. He wasn't fuzzy anymore. But fuzzy facts. I'm going to continue this. It's a very important subject, and the doctrines of the Scripture. And we want you to stay tuned. See you next week, same time, same station. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time, at the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 978. 978 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible, now in its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Well, we continue, my friends. Oh, have you ordered your Defined King James Bible? Published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather. Not another Bible like it in the world. Choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 42,000 are in print and distributed all over the world. Why not order yours today for yourself and your friends? The Defined King James Bible. Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get your Bible. All right, we're continuing on the analysis of the One Bible Only, a refutation of it, published by the Central Baptist Theological Seminary, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We call this review, and we're going to put it, Lord willing, into a book that you may be able to get if you're interested in it. We call it Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists. Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists. Not simply the fundamentalists there at Central Baptist Theological Seminary in Minneapolis, but the same fuzzy facts are voiced over and over again by other members of this fundamentalist quartet of schools. Not only Central Baptist Seminary, but Bob Jones University and their seminary hold these same fuzzy facts that are not factual. The same is true of Detroit Baptist Seminary, hold the same fuzzy facts, or similar at least. The same with Calvary Baptist Seminary, Lansdale, Pennsylvania. Hold these same fuzzy facts. And so we're talking about the fuzzy facts in this book of One Bible Only, and especially we're mentioning, as we mentioned last broadcast, the quotation from Dr. McLaughlin, president of Central Baptist Seminary, on page 10 of the One Bible Only book, where he talks about significant variants, number about 2,000, well, there are many more than that. He says, none of which affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. We've spoken of 7 variants that do affect the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. Here's number 8, John 7, verse 8. In John 7, verse 8, the King James Bible accurately translates our text receptus as follows. Quote, the Lord Jesus is talking to his half-brothers, or foster brothers, however you want to refer to them. He says, go ye up into this feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. Now, the variant that Dr. McLaughlin says does not affect the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians is in the first word, yet, in John 7, verse 8. Manuscript Aleph removes that first yet, and so does the New American Standard Version. So does the New King James in the footnotes. And I'm talking about the old New American Standard. You can have an old new NASV. Well, how does it read then when they omit the first yet? There are 2 yets in that word, and they read it this way. The Lord Jesus says to his half-brothers, go ye up unto this feast. I go not up unto the feast. That's the way the manuscript Sinai reads. I go not up to the feast. Go ye up to the feast. Well, a verse or two later, the Lord Jesus Christ did go up to the feast in question. Well, if he says, I'm not going up unto the feast, and he goes up, what does that make the Lord Jesus Christ? Or makes him a liar, doesn't it? Now, my question is back to McLaughlin and his fuzzy fact, number 8 in this book, One Bible Only. Does not making the Lord Jesus Christ a liar affect the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians? My friends, if Dr. McLaughlin is right, that this does not affect the overall theology, he says none of these variants, and this is a variant, one has yet, one doesn't have yet. If he's right and he says none of the variants affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians, that means that Christians really don't care whether the Lord Jesus Christ is a true spokesman of his Heavenly Father or whether he's a liar. That's the import of what Dr. McLaughlin is saying. Doesn't Dr. McLaughlin know that this variant is here in Manuscript Aleph and in his New American Standard Version, the original version that came out? Doesn't he know this? Does he want a lying Savior? That seems to be the case. If he says that none of these affect overall theology of Bible-believing Christians, my friend, if the Lord Jesus Christ is a liar, a falsifier of truth, and he's not, but if he were, everything that he said would be suspect. When he said, "For God so loved the world," John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If the Lord Jesus is a liar, then that verse cannot be trusted. He spoke it. In John 14:6, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And if that Savior, the Lord Jesus, is a liar, you can't depend upon John 14:6 or anything else that he said. If this does not affect overall theology of Bible-believing Christians, I don't know what does. If the Lord Jesus Christ is a liar, which this verse in John 7:8 in the Sinaitic manuscript, Aleph, says that he is, if he's a liar, that means that John 14:1-3 cannot be trusted either, where the Lord Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Those believers that trust him. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." My friends, this is a significant theological difference if this word "yet" is eliminated from John 7:8. "Go ye up into this feast? I go not up yet unto the feast. And if you take it out, go ye up unto the feast? I go not up to the feast." And he went up a verse or two later, making him a liar. My friend, this is certainly a fuzzy fact, number 8, of Dr. McLaughlin in page 10 of this One Bible Only, where he says it doesn't affect the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. Let's take a look at Number 9, a ninth example. Dr. Jack Mormon has listed 356 doctrines that are affected by the false versions that Dr. McLaughlin and his school, Central Baptist Seminary, use. 356 doctrinal passages involved in his false Greek text used at his school, and the false Greek text used at the other three of the quartet of schools of fundamentalists of the day: Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, and others. But these are the big four. They like to say they're the major fundamentalist institutions. Well, a ninth verse that is affected and affects overall theology of Bible-believing Christians is Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. Ephesians 3:9, Paul writes to the Christian church there at Ephesus, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery," this is the King James Bible's accurate translation of the text receptus, the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Who created all things by Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus was the intermediary. He was the tool. He was the instrument of creation. God the Father was there and had a part in it. God the Holy Spirit was there, had a part in it. The Lord Jesus was the major part. It was created all things by Jesus Christ. But my friends, B and Aleph, which are the manuscripts of Vatican and Sinai, which support the Westcott and Hort false Greek text and support the false Nestle-Aleph text and United Bible Society text, and the B and Aleph text, which are used at Central Baptist Seminary and the other three schools that we've mentioned repeatedly, those texts, as well as the NIV and the New American Standard Version and New King James in the footnotes and the New Berkeley Version, leave out those three words in Ephesians 3:9, by Jesus Christ. Created all things by Jesus Christ. Does this not affect the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians? Dr. McLaughlin, in his Fuzzy Fact number 8 in this book, page 10, says none of the variants affect the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. My friend, part of my overall Bible-believing Christian theology is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of heaven and earth and the whole world, creator of Adam and Eve, the creator of everything, visible and invisible. And to say that he is no longer the creator in Ephesians 3:9 is a travesty on my Bible theology. It should be a travesty on your Bible theology. And to say that none of which affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians is simply a fuzzy fact, which simply is not true, and it's not a fact at all. Well, what is another variant that affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians that Dr. McLaughlin says doesn't affect? Either affects it or doesn't affect it. Well, a tenth example might be John chapter 8, verse 59. As I said before in the broadcast, Dr. Jack Mormon has listed an entire book, 100-page, large-page book, of 356 doctrinal passages where variants do affect the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. And in my book, Defending the King James Bible, I have listed 158 of these 356, and you can get that in the book, Defending the King James Bible. But on this broadcast, we're listing just a few of these variants that affect the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. Well, John 8:59 in the King James Bible, accurately translating our Textus Receptus Greek text, says this, quote, then took they up stones to cast at him, that is at the Lord Jesus. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by, unquote. Well, B and Aleph remove the last clause, or two clauses really, of John 8:59. This does affect the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. This variant, they take away the words going through the midst of them and so passed by. Vatican and Sinai manuscripts, B and Aleph, and the other modern version manuscripts, the reversed and revised text, take out those words. So does the New American Standard Version. New American Standard and the NIV and the New King James and the footnotes of the study edition, New Berkeley, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now you say, why does this affect the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians? Because you take this out and you take away the omnipotence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I say you take away the omnipotence? The Gnostics did not believe this was possible. The Gnostics who altered and changed manuscript B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai, took these words out because they did not believe that any man, and they believed that Jesus was only a man, not God the Son, the perfect God as well as perfect man, the Gnostics did not believe that any man could go through the midst of people that were out to kill him. Well, I believe that no man could do it either, but the Lord Jesus Christ was not simply a perfect man. He was also a perfect God. He was the God-man, the Theanthropos, as we say, perfect God and perfect man. And when Dr. McLaughlin, in this fuzzy fact number 8 of this book, The One Bible Only, when he says that of the 2,000 variants, none of which affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians, this affects my theology. If you take away this powerful miracle, here are Jews, bloodthirsty Jews, who had already taken up stones to cast at him to stone him to death. And the Lord Jesus went out of the temple, and these words going through the midst of them are extremely significant, proving and showing that he was Almighty God. Could you imagine a man going through a crowd ready to kill him? They wouldn't let him go 5 feet. But the Lord Jesus went all the way through the midst of this crowd ready to stone him, to kill him, because they hated him. They wanted to murder him right then and there. But the Lord Jesus Christ went through the midst of them because he was perfect God, omnipotent God. They didn't touch him. They didn't lay a hand on him. Don't you see that this section of John 8:59 that has been removed by these textual variants of B and Aleph, those words are words of his deity, of his omnipotence, and it does affect the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians if you remove these words. What about an 11th example? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 4:14, our King James Bible reads clearly, accurately translating the Textus Receptus, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. End of quote. That's 2 Corinthians 4:14. Now there's a variant, Dr. McLaughlin says, of these 2,000 variants, none of which affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. My friend, this certainly does. What's the variant in 2 Corinthians 4:14? What does B and Aleph, or what do B and Aleph, the Vatican Sinai Greek text, alter and change? Well, they just simply change a preposition, by, raise us up by Jesus, and so does the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, New King James, and the footnotes of a study edition, New Berkeley. Well, how do they change this preposition by, in the prepositional phrase by Jesus? Well, they say, raise us up with Jesus. Well, you say, why does this make a difference? Why does this affect the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians? Well, my friends, it affects the overall theology because the Lord Jesus is the one through whom and by whom God the Father will raise up and resurrect the Bible-believing Christians, the saved people in this world. It's by Jesus. And to take away that preposition by and change it to with takes away the power that he has to raise the dead. This affects my overall theology, and I'm a Bible-believing Christian. And I dispute the so-called fuzzy fact of Dr. McLaughlin, president of Central Baptist Theological Seminary, where he says that none of these variants affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. Now, there's a second thing about this. The Lord Jesus said in John 11, 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever therefore liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? This is the resurrection chapter, John 11, 25 and 26. Not only does it take away the power of his resurrection, his ability to raise the dead, as he raised Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth, and the widow of Nain's son and the Jairus' daughter, the three people that he raised and resuscitated from the grave, not only does it take away his power to raise the dead, but also when you change by Jesus to with Jesus, it implies perhaps that he himself, the Lord Jesus himself, is not yet raised from the dead. Perhaps still in the tomb. He raises us up with Jesus. Well, if it's with Jesus, maybe he's not yet raised, and God the Father is going to raise us all up together. So these are the areas that do affect the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. Well, I could quote from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, where that ye may grow thereby, the sincere milk of the word, and the B and Aleph manuscripts read that ye may grow into salvation by reading the word of God. That's not the growth in salvation, it's once and for all. I could take up Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. His through his blood is gone and missing from these versions and the manuscripts. I could take up 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, where it says, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us, and be an Aleph removed for us. And this is certainly a doctrinal, theological difference with Bible-believing Christians. It's not simply he died and was sacrificed, but it was for us. Death of the Lord Jesus was a vicarious death. It was a substitutionary death in our place. And this is serious theology that does affect the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. Same in 1 Peter 4:1, suffered for us. The for us is gone in these versions and manuscripts. And Galatians 4:7, an heir of God through Christ. They leave off through Christ. No, that affects the overall theology. It's only through Christ that we can be made a son of God and an heir of God. I could take up Hebrews 1, verse 3, where it talks about the Lord Jesus when he had by himself purged our sins. And they take away by himself. Just purged our sins, but not by himself. Maybe they want to add Mary, or the saints, or the Pope, or some other means of grace, whether purgatory, or confessional, or extreme unction, or something else. No, it's by himself. That affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. I could take up John 3:15, where that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the variant there is elimination of should not perish. Be an Aleph, and the NIV and the others remove that. This means that they take away hell and the everlasting punishment in John 3:15. I could bring up Mark 9:44 or 9:46 of Mark. The whole verse, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, removed in both of these verses. That affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. I could take up 2 Peter 2, verse 17, where it says that the apostates God has reserved and carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. And the words forever are gone from B and Aleph and the NIV and the New American Standard and so on. I could take that up. They take away the foreverness of eternal punishment of apostates and unbelievers. I could take up John 6:47, which says, the Lord Jesus speaking, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Be an Aleph, take away those words, on me. And so does the NIV and the New American Standard Version, New King James and the footnotes of the study edition, other versions. Now that certainly does affect contrary to what Dr. McLaughlin's fuzzy fact indicates, it does affect the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. The NIV simply reads something like this: "Truly I say to you, he who believes has everlasting life." Believes what? Believes in whom? No, my friend, it's on me. Important doctrine, theology, affected. You don't need Christ in John 6:47 in the false Westcott and Hort critical text. And you don't need Christ in the NIV either to be saved and to have everlasting life in John 6:47. And you don't need Christ as the Savior in the New American Standard Version and other modern versions. I could take up Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. They simply take out of Christ. It's simply, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Doesn't mention the gospel. My friend, this affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians, and it is a variant, which affects. I could take up Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And they say, let us have peace. Ekomen, the subjunctive. Let us have peace. No, it's ekomen, the indicative. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I could take up finally Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Be an aleph, take out the name Christ. So does the NIV and the New American Standard and these other versions. I can do all things through the one that strengthens me. That one could be the devil. That one could be Mormonism or atheism or communism. No, it's through Christ. This variant affects the overall theology of Bible-believing Christians. The only one through whom we can have strength is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The broadcast next week, same time, same station, we want you to listen to it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a toll-free call right now, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Well, we're winding up this broadcast, but next week we're coming back, Lord willing, for another half hour of fuzzy facts from fundamentalists on Bible versions. Now, I'm glad that the facts are not fuzzy from fundamentalists on other issues. But, my friends, on this issue of Bible versions and Bible texts, the facts are fuzzy. The facts are not true. The facts are not real. And we're analyzing this one Bible only as a representative book from the fundamentalists of our day. See you next week, same time, same station. Until then, so long.